Today is a special day because we're going to have some of our families come forward in a little while and dedicate their children to the Lord, and I think that baby dedications are one of my favorite things to do. Amen? And one of the reasons I love the opportunity to dedicate our children to the Lord is because it gives us an opportunity to remind ourselves of some very fundamental and basic truths. And we're going to look at those this morning. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 127. This is a well-known psalm, which really extols the value of children. Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Then go on to Psalm 128. Notice Psalm 128. It says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children like olive plants all around your table." If you have little children, you know they like to grab on your legs, right? And so the picture here is of all your little ones hanging onto your leg, just the way a vine would wrap around the leg of a table. Verse 4, "Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." What we see in the Bible is this profound respect for human life and a profound love for children. And it permeates both the Old and the New Testament. But I was thinking about the account of Abraham, and we don't have time to read it, of course. But it's interesting to me that when you read the Old Testament, we know that God calls Abraham, makes him a sojourner. He becomes the father of the Jews, the father of the chosen people. And what's striking to me about Abraham and about this whole drama is that the call of Abraham is linked ultimately to the salvation of the world. So this is a pretty important event, right? It's pretty important when God calls Abraham. Abraham is significant in both the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant. Abraham is called the father of many nations, but more importantly, he was the father of the chosen people, and it is through Abraham and his seed that the Messiah is to come, the word of God says. Okay, so I was thinking about this. Abraham's important. He's called the father of the faithful, the father of all those believe, of all those who believe. And this is, when you read the story of Abraham, what you're reading about is the drama of redemption. The drama of the salvation of the whole world. But what struck me as I was contemplating it is that the drama is wrapped up in a story about two old people that couldn't have a baby. And that is so typical of the Jewish, the Old Testament attitude toward children. It kind of symbolizes the value they placed on children. So on the one hand, the story is about a man and a woman that want to have an heir, want to have a child. The bigger picture is about the fact that this child will become the first of many, leading to the birth of Messiah. And when you read Jewish literature, what you see is this great, great love
for children. One author said this. He said, "No nation has ever set the child in the midst more deliberately than the Jews did. It would not be wrong to say that for the Jew, the child was the most important person in the community." It was Rabbi Judah the Holy who uttered the famous words, and I love this: "The world exists only by the breath of school children." Man, don't you love that? I mean, doesn't that sum up the Old Testament ethos, the spirit that is breathed through the Old Testament on the value of children? Another rabbi said, he's speaking as if God says this, "Dearer to me is the breath of school children than the savor of sacrifice." Now, there were two rabbis that understood the heart of God, because God loves children. Amen? He loves them. And when you look at the biblical text, we just read two, and there are many, what we see is that children are highly valued. And it's not surprising that in both Jewish and Christian communities, children are celebrated. The birth of children are celebrated. The education of children are celebrated because they're seen as being extremely valuable. Now, some of us take this for granted. And because we've grown up in a culture that historically has been shaped by biblical values. Although we're seeing those values be eroded, are we not? But what's striking is that the Old Testament, the Jewish culture of the Old Testament, was unique amongst all the nations in their value of children. And when you look at the ancient cultures, what you see is that it was really the Jews alone that truly valued the child. And so I was reading about ancient education practices and about the ancient world. And one author talks about the practice in the Greco-Roman world. This is the pagan world outside of Judaism. And he talks about this terrible practice of child exposure. You know what that is? Child exposure is when a child was born and you didn't want the child, they just threw the child out. And in many towns, villages, they had a special place. It would be called the abandonment wall. And it would be a place where they just took the children they didn't want and they just throw them there. And often the wild dogs would come, or sometimes people would come and actually kidnap the children and then raise them into slavery. Here's what this author says. He says, "The fact remains that in both Greek and Roman custom, the exposure of infants was an accepted practice." One author, one pagan ancient author says in a letter, "Goodbye and God bless you, my dear. Continue to look out for our common interest and do be sure not to overdo things. You are near your time now, you know, pregnant, ready to deliver. I'm obliged to leave you, but don't expose the child. If good luck to you, you bear a child, it is a boy, let it live, and if it's a girl, throw it out." This type of sentiment was common in ancient cultures, and it just highlights how different the Jewish culture was, because the Jewish culture had a revelation from God. The Jewish culture understood, because of the Old Testament, the value of children. It was Tacitus, the famous historian, who commented in his history that of all the nations, it was the Jews who said that it was a crime for them to kill any newly born infant. So the Jews were unique because the Jews had the Old Testament, the covenant from God. They had a revelation from God that children were important. And when we look at the Bible, both Old and New Testament, we see a consistent witness to the value of children. And I just want to highlight a few things the Bible tells us. First of all, it tells us that our children are created by God. Look at Genesis chapter 1 if you want to turn there. in the beginning, back in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26, it says, "And then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." This is one of those truths, if you will, that many Christians take for granted. I don't believe in evolution, I just believe in creation. Not realizing the profound implications of this. Because once you assert creation, you are asserting an entire worldview. And when you assert God does not exist, or God may exist, but God is not particularly interested in the natural order, God is not the creator, so to speak, that speaks a worldview also. And what we see is that as you stand regarding this matter, ultimately it leads to conclusions regarding the value of human life. And so traditionally, the Old Testament Jews, the New Testament Christians, who believe that God is the creator God, they have always tended to value the child and exalt the place of the child in the community, because they understand that the child is a creation of God, and that this child is brought into being in the image of God. That is a worldview. As C.S. Lewis said in his essay, "The Weight of Glory," there are no ordinary people. Because every one of us, being a creation of God, we bear his image and we have an immortal soul. And every man, woman, and child will live forever somewhere. Because they're eternal, created with an immortal soul. And that's why they're valuable. Our society does not say this anymore, because our society has abandoned the biblical notion of creation. And with just one quote, this is by Peter Singer, well-known author, professor of philosophy, considered one of the leading ethicists of the day. And he says, "If we compare a severely defective human infant with a non-human animal, say a dog or a pig, for example, we will often find the non-human, meaning the animal, to have superior capacities. Humans, now this is it, listen. Humans who bestow superior value on the lives of all human beings solely because they are members of our species, meaning because they're humans, are judging along lines strikingly similar to those used by white racists who bestow superior value on the lives of other whites merely because they are members of their own race." Now, that this guy is a professor of philosophy astounds me. That he could jump from saying that human beings are valuable to then jumping and saying, if you think humans are valuable because they're humans, then you're like a white racist. I don't know how he passed the most elementary course in logic. That's exactly what we're asserting, that humans are valuable because they are humans. Amen? And they're valuable because, being a human, you are created in the image of God. And sadly, Singer speaks for the ethos of our culture, which says that the humans are not valuable. Children are not valuable. And so all the social indicators show that children are suffering more today than in the past. Child abuse is up. Neglect is up. Infanticide is up. Abortion is up. All the indicators are going up. The children are not valued. Why? Because we've abandoned this fundamental bedrock principle that because God is the creator, humans are valuable. Every one of us, including our children, possess an immortal soul. We will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And our children, therefore, have eternal value. Eternal value. The other thing I want to say about why the Bible teaches our children are valuable is because the Bible says that God encourages and is actually involved in the reproduction process. Right here in Genesis 1, are you still there? Right after we're told that we're created in God's image, then in verse 28, we have this benediction. And it says in verse 28 of chapter 1, "Then God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" So this benediction, blessed are you, or be blessed, it could be translated, be blessed by being fruitful. And so God mandates this. This is often called the family mandate. Some people call it the cultural mandate, whatever label you want to use. The point is that God says, make more of my image on the earth. Spread my image on the earth through your children, and then have dominion, which is another way of making a value statement regarding human life. And then we see the same thing after the flood. Noah's comes out of the flood. The earth had been virtually destroyed, and we have the same benediction, almost in the identical words: be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In spite of the fall, in spite of the fact that there is sin in the world, reproduce, multiply, fill the earth. God is also the protector of life. We don't have time, of course, but if you read your Old Testament and you pay attention, you'll see this pro-life, pro-child ethos all through the law. And we see how God wants to protect human life, obviously the commandment against murder, right? But he wants to protect the family with commands against adultery and commands against covetousness, things that would erode and destroy the family, because it's the family that's the nursery of the child. It's the family where human life is nurtured and brought up and matured. And so God sets all of these hedges, if you will, to protect children and to protect human life. The most important value statement, I think, in all of Scripture regarding the value of our children is the fact that God loved us and our children so much that he would send his son to take our place on the cross. Now, if you're a Christian, you believe that, and you've believed it for a long time. And I think a lot of times we get numb to what really happened there. Kind of take it for granted. But I'll never forget the first time I heard that God loved me. It was a shocking notion. Shocking notion that God loved me. Because you see, I grew up 60s, 70s, you know, the revolutionary times. There was no meaning. Everything was random. Life was about drugs and sex and parties and music. That's what life was about. There was no real purpose. And there seeped into this what originally began as a movement for peace and love, a profound nihilism, a profound despair. Because if you're not standing on a foundation, who says human life's valuable? Who says life has purpose? And it became clear as things began to change throughout the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, it became clear that instead of being a movement of hope, what had happened was we had adopted a movement of despair. So more and more we see the suicide rates were going up, drug addiction was going up, all kinds of social problems, because man no longer had meaning. You are so valuable to God. So valuable to Him that He would enter into your suffering. He enters into your pain. He enters into this miserable veil of tears that we live in. Assumes our nature, assumes our suffering, assumes our pain, assumes our sin, that we might be brought back to God. It's an amazing story. It boggles the mind. Boggles the mind. I remember witnessing to a Muslim girl, woman, female. And I was trying to get her to understand the incarnation. That God loved us so much that He would come and assume our human nature, enter into our humanity, our broken humanity. And she kept on saying, Allah above, Allah above. She couldn't grasp that the transcendent, almighty, sovereign God would come and walk where we walk and experience our pain. Could not grasp it. And that's why this teaching of all is called the mystery of godliness. Because it is a great mystery. How the transcendent God could assume humanity while maintaining His transcendence is a mystery. No one can explain. But it's revealed to us. And it is the ultimate proof of our value to God. People ask me, how valuable is a human soul? As valuable as the blood of the Son of God. That's how valuable. And that's how we need to see our children. That's more than loving our children with natural affection. That's loving our children with an enlightened understanding. That we hold in our arms image bearers of God, created by Him, who have an immortal spirit destined to live forever. They are loved so greatly by God that He would come and die on a cross for them. That's valuable. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, these thoughts are too high for us. We cannot understand how great You are, nor how great is Your love and mercy for us. But even though we cannot fully comprehend it, we do believe, because Your word tells us that You made us in Your image, that You love us, You love our children. You give us our children as a gift. And that because of Your great love, You entered into space-time history, took upon Yourself our humanity, that You might be a sin offering for us. We thank You, Father, for Your great love. We ask Your blessing, Lord, on these children that are about to be dedicated to You. We pray in Your name. Amen.